Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppe with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Valencia Porter. She's an MD. She's also a master's in public health. She has worked together with Dr. Deepak Chopra at the Chopra Center for Well-Being, and she's trained in Ayurvedic medicine as well as traditional, Ayurvedic's traditional, modern medical techniques. She's well-credentialed in conventional medicine as well. She's written a book about environmental toxins and what we can do to safeguard ourselves and our families from some of these challenges. And it's a very succinct, well-written book that I think will provide you with a great introduction to some of the threats that are out there. So let's go through some of these. Flame retardants and Teflon, they're related compounds. Even though, you know, certain states like California mandate particularly high levels of these things in everything that comes into contact with kids, mattresses, and even PJs, children's toys for some reason. The problem was highlighted in a recent movie, Dark Waters, which starred Mark Ruffalo. It's an amazing movie. Go see it because it really gets you upset about what the chemical industry is doing to suppress really important information about what they're doing out there. So what's going on with that? You know, I think that the shorthand for these PFAs, PFOs, perfluoro compounds.
Yeah, these perfluoro compounds are really persistent, and they are on, as you mentioned, all a variety of products. One thing that you didn't mention is our electronics, so all of our computers, our TVs, and everything. And they off-gas into the air. Also, the dust also will come out, too, especially in our, you know, upholstered furniture. They will spray pounds and pounds into the foam that's in our furniture, and then creating this dust as well. And these compounds are...
That's one of the reasons why it's so horrible to be a firefighter, because this stuff combusts, and then, oh my God, you breathe it, and oh, it's terrible, you know, what they're exposed to.
Yeah, and some of the firefighting agencies are, you know, you would think that they would be for flame retardants, but now that they've seen the consequences and what happens when they actually do set a fire, and the toxins that are released when that happens, many agencies are actually against them. Mm-hmm. But they are hormonal disruptors, so especially for our thyroid. And part of how I got interested in this whole field of toxicity was I kept seeing all of my patients were hypothyroid.
So many. It's like normal. It's like normal for a middle-aged woman to be hypothyroid these days.
Not only middle-aged, it was like every single patient coming into my office, I was like, why is everybody hypothyroid?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's also a potential carcinogen, neurodevelopmental toxin. So many of these toxins, especially the ones that I'm very amped up about, probably because of my child neurology background, are affect neurodevelopment, affect brain development in children, and affect their IQs. So these things are everywhere, and especially children are vulnerable because of, number one, they have immature detoxification systems, especially very young children, because they're just not fully developed. And number two, because of their proximity to the ground, so as mm-hmm. these things
they're on off the floor, gas, they're picking dust. Up stuff, putting it in their mouths. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really concerned about, you know, everybody's health, but particularly our children. And then these things are even in their pajamas. So, you know, one of the titles of one of the sections of my book was Buy Your Child Tight Pajamas, because it's those loose, you know, pajamas, the cute ones with the cute characters on them, those are all doused with flame retardant because, you know, the supposition is that those loose arms or pant legs are going to catch fire. But if you have an organic cotton pajama that's tight, then they're not required to put those flame retardants on.
Oh, that's
on
interesting.
Them.
That is interesting. So you can, there's a workaround. Yeah. Great.
There is a workaround, yes. I was my kids eventually got tired of these tight pajamas, but eventually they aged. So it's only up, I forgot what the age is, but only up until a certain age do they, or I guess it's like the children's pajama. Once they hit adult size, then they don't have to have that on there.
It's okay to smoke in bed and burn up then, right?
So these fire retardant chemicals, and, you know, many of these retardant, you know, the whatever retardant. So the things that are non-stick or wrinkle resistant, so retardant resistant. Yep. When we hear those words, mm-hmm. it often has these toxic chemicals in it.
It's treated,
So flame retardants, I don't think there's any benefit. When I was looking at, you know, on the firefighter side, is there any benefit to these? It doesn't seem to be any benefit to using these ones. Wrinkle resistant, stain resistant, like, okay, that could be convenient, but do we really want to deal with these? And these toxins, and the big issue is that they persist in the environment. They do mm-hmm. not go away. And so it's just more and more and more. And, you know, at one point, are we going to say enough is enough?
Right. Phthalates in the crosshairs these days, because they're the plasticizers that also are endocrine disruptors. What's up with that?
Yeah, so these plasticizers tend to make plastic more pliable. They were often used in a lot of baby products, but those have been, you know, taken out because we've realized how horrible that is for children. They are also endocrine disruptors there, but they're still everywhere else. So they appear in many different products, including cosmetics. So part of what I look at in the book is going from the inside out. So I start with food, and then I go out to, you know, what are we putting on our skin? And particularly women, we tend to put a lot of products on our skin, and much of that gets absorbed. Women put on between 6 and 12, some people maybe even more products a day, and that can be over 100 different types of compounds that we're then taking in, and phthalates are one of them that we are exposed to. So some things about phthalates is, one interesting thing is that there is now been shown an association between phthalate exposure and diabetes. So many of these chemicals
I'm glad you went there. That's a very important point that has been brought up, is that they, you know, an endocrine disruptor, you know, and our pancreas is an endocrine organ, and you disrupt the effect of the pancreas, or you make cells more insulin resistant. You know, why are we seeing so much diabetes? Is it merely because people aren't exercising enough and they're eating too much? Yeah, that's part of the equation, but environmental toxicity figures in.
Yeah. So they're in, you know, they're in everything. Unfortunately, in the hospital, they can be in IV tubing, blood bags, and pharmaceuticals, and but I think a lot of people's exposures actually are from their personal care products, in addition to, you know, plastics in our environment. But the, yeah, so the endocrine findings and the insulin resistance and possible association with diabetes is something that many people don't know about, but it also can affect neurodevelopment as well. There have been some associations with exposure specifically in utero, leading to issues with motor functioning later in childhood. So it's even these early exposures that make a difference. And yeah, I, as I said, I'm very concerned about our children. Also affecting cognition too. There was a study, I forgot what institution, but they showed that children of mothers who had the highest levels had lower IQ points.
Yikes.
So really, you know, these things are so pervasive and they have these huge effects, so affecting neurologic development, affecting you know, our obesity issues and our diabetes issues. It's really something that needs to be looked at. And then, as I said, you know, they looked at banning it in children's toys, but it's everywhere.
What about glyphosate? Again, controversial because Bayer, which has bought Monsanto, and saw about a 40% drop in their stock value because of the ongoing litigation about glyphosate. They are fighting a valiant battle to push back against these class action lawsuits from people who feel like their cancer may have been triggered by glyphosate. In fact, there's a big case going on right now where it looks like they're going to settle. They don't want to go to court. They don't want the adverse publicity, so they're going to sign a confidentiality agreement to pay some money out and hopefully minimize their damage, keep it down to, you know, a few billion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, the other agencies have found an association with cancer, the World Health Organization agency that looks at cancer. And the data does not look good, and I understand that why they would want to suppress it. And the thing about glyphosate, so I think most people are aware about it now, but it was used as an herbicide on our agricultural crops, and the
gardeners know it as Roundup. I mean, I used to gleefully spray Roundup on my garden. It was so gratifying because you'd hit those weeds, and boom, they would die.
Yeah. They would die. But the part of the reasoning for using that is they thought that there would need to be less herbicide used. But now we're getting these super weeds. So the amounts that are used have escalated, you know, infinitesimally. The rates that are being used are just skyrocketing. So they're actually using more and more instead of less and less, as mm-hmm. it was initially supposedly designed. But you touched on the cancer aspect. But one thing that people may not be aware of is these endocrine disrupting effects of glyphosate at even lower concentrations. Mm-hmm. So when hormones work,
so you don't have to be a landscaper or a farmer or to experience that.
Hormonal effects are seen at these microgram, these small infinitesimal, if somebody's on a thyroid medication, we're giving them micrograms, not milligrams, right? So it's these small levels that can have these endocrine effects, and they're actually showing that, you know, there may be endocrine disrupting effects even on male reproduction at low doses. And then there are also some things looking at non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which has also become somewhat of an epidemic mm-hmm. as well, and at that relationship as well to levels of glyphosate. And another thing about Roundup is that it's not just glyphosate, and it's a proprietary blend, as many of these products are, which mm-hmm. means we don't have a right to know exactly what's in it.
Mm.
So studies have been showing that the formulation of Roundup is more toxic than just glyphosate alone.
So if we test glyphosate, we find, you know, it's not so bad. You know, we can feed it to rats and they don't die. the stuff that's commercially available is different. And then we don't know what the long-term effects are. Yeah. But, you know, what's interesting, I think we talk about all these different chemicals. If you test the average person, the average nursing mother, you can even test breast milk, test the urine, test the blood. Everybody's got some levels of these things. And that's concerning because there's a synergistic effect. It's not just exposure to one chemical. We test these things on the basis of a single exposure. But then when we're exposed to, multiple agents simultaneously, this can have a knock-on effect.
Yes. Yeah. And that's true. When we look at research, they're usually looking at one chemical for a relatively short period of time. They are not looking at this soup, chemical soup that we're exposed to over a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Studies, if they show that there's harm, then that's harm. But just because they're not showing harm in a single application of a single substance over a short period of time doesn't mean that they're not harmful.
Let's pause now and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. Here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Valencia Porter. Let's move on to BPA. It's the can lining, but it's also the stuff on receipts. New York, they're always looking for something to ban here in New York. And rightly so. I mean, this is the epicenter of the cigarette ban, which I think was very prescient. As they used to go in a bar and, everybody's smoking and you thought, well, that's, if you don't like it, don't go in a bar. Now there's no public spaces in New York or in many metropolitan cities. Even in Ireland, you can't, it strikes me as funny as, that you can't go into a bar in Dublin, smoking a cigarette. But, BPA and BPS are in the crosshairs. And why is that?
Well, BPA, bisphenol A, it has been around for a long time. And it's been known to mimic estrogen since the 1930s. So why this is all of a sudden a surprise, I don't know. But it is another endocrine disruptor. It's associated with, those types of effects. So affecting female production, affecting reproductive development, metabolism, also associated with insulin resistance and cognitive function. But you're right. It is everywhere. It used to be in bottles. Now we see these BPA-free bottles. It's in receipts.
But the substitute is not more salutary.
So when they say BPA-free, that we don't know what that means. And so many have substituted with other bisphenols. So there are BPA analogs. There's BPS, but also BPB and BPF. And what the National Toxicology Program put out a statement that said that many of these BPA analogs are active at concentrations similar to or lower than BPA. Mm-hmm. So they may actually be stronger chemicals that are now being used in these products that are now labeled BPA-free.
I mean, what's the solution? Just avoiding cans altogether? Because that's what I'm doing now. I mean, I want to get it in glass, and it's more expensive and it's not great for the environment. But if I'm getting, artichoke hearts or palm hearts, you know, which is something I like to throw in my salad. I get it in glass now. I don't use the cans anymore.
Yeah, if that's possible, there are some brands that are committed to being more healthy, and they use other things. Although I was just researching this the other day, and I was looking at it was Amy's Organics, and looking at what they use, and they seem very transparent. I was looking at their website, and I think they said they use acrylic and one other thing on the liner. So then I was like, well, I'm going to have to go and research and think about what are the potential effects there of having acrylic in touch with my food.
It doesn't sound
appealing. So, but if it's a can and you look inside, there's going to be a liner of some sort in there, especially if it's an acidic type food, like tomato sauce. You know, otherwise it would eat through the can.
Yeah, so you wouldn't want the metal in your food either. That's not good either. So yeah.
Yeah. So and then I'm concerned about the boxes that are also substitutes for the cans, and how many
the fast food packaging is problematic too, right? Because it's like, why doesn't your pizza stick to the carton like it used to? I mean, we used to when I was in college, we had pizza, and I remember you'd peel it off of the cardboard, and half of it would be sticking to the cardboard. So we would sort of lick it off the cardboard, but at least we didn't get some of these non-stick substances that make it easy to peel the pizza off the carton.
Yeah. I guess the moral of the story is life should be a little harder. I remember my friend from the Netherlands, we were talking many years ago, and he said, "What is wrong with your bread?" Huh. And I said, "What do you mean? Your bread in the United States, it doesn't go stale. There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Why is your bread not going stale? Bread should go stale after a couple of days."
Yeah.
And that was before I knew anything. But now, thinking back to that conversation, I was like, oh, he was really on to something.
That's right.
The
bakeries would have a sale for stale bread. You know, it's like if you wanted it fresh, you pay a little more. And then the next day, here's the counter with the stale bread.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Moving along, organophosphates, and is chlorpyrifos, which is in the crosshairs, is that formerly an organophosphate?
That is one of the organophosphate pesticides. So yeah, a lot of those have these neurotoxic effects, and again, affecting brain development for children.
It's kind of like in the category with the sarin gas, right? You know, that's an organophosphate poison, right?
Yeah, it's not a friendly, they don't have good company there, I don't think. So especially the chlorpyrifos, which, they've shown it impairs with brain development, neurologic development, and the EPA actually banned it for household use in 2000 due to these concerns about
pretty common insecticide, right? I mean, it's a bug spray.
It was used as bug spray, use it around the house, but that's been banned. But it's still used in agriculture on more than 100 crops. And then, from about 2000 to 2014, the EPA took multiple actions. They were kind of working on this. It looked promising that they were going to get this out of the system. In 2016, they proposed a complete ban of it. But then with the change of the administration in 2017, they reversed that decision. And it is another one of those chemicals that is persistent. It sticks to the soil. It's carried by wind. And, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it affects neurodevelopment. There's a higher likelihood of autistic spectrum disorder in children born to mothers who reside within 1.5 kilometers of agricultural places where they're spraying organophosphate pesticides.
Mm.
And if the strongest association is for chlorpyrifos.
And what about pyrethrins? Pyrethrins, it has kind of a green aura about it, because pyrethrins are part of the, I think, certain plants. I think daisies have pyrethrins, if I'm not mistaken, or some marigolds or some plants make their own pyrethrins. Is that
marigolds?
Right.
Yes.
And pyrethrins are a lot of the, you know, kind of the less heavy duty bug sprays. I mean, we're all concerned, obviously, about Lyme disease. We're concerned about mosquitoes that may be Zika bearing mosquitoes. And so, you know, at times we want to spray ourselves. We're going to the woods. Are pyrethroids or pyrethrins a safer alternative, or is there a downside to those?
Yeah, I mean, it also depends on the processing. So, you know, where are you getting them from? And so in my garden, I actually planted the marigolds instead of spraying an extract. But, you know, the other aspect that we have to look at is what is the effect of this on our greater environment? So this, you know, some of these really affect our pollinator species like bees. Chlorpyrifos is one of those as well, too. And they are toxic to bees. Chlorpyrifos is also toxic to earthworms.
Oh, boy.
Which
are very important for soil regeneration. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people don't like earthworms, but they're so important for our soil.
Yep.
And so we look at all this, you know, destruction. So I really urge people to shift to what, you know, what's called integrated pest management. So figuring out what plants are going to help repel the pest. What are the practices that you can do? Barrier methods. What are, you know, certain plants when planted together can be more beneficial. And if we have soil that's healthy, there are less pests.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a holistic and integrated approach to look at what's how to deal with these pests. And, you know, that was all pointed out by Rachel Carson way back in the 1960s, and she saw, you know, that the use of these sprays, these toxic sprays, was actually making the problem worse. I remember her in the book, she talks about the fire ant problem and that they were trying to deal with these fire ants, which I can only imagine how annoying and disruptive that would be to have a fire ant invasion. But everything that they were using was just making things more and more, unfortunately, resilient to those chemicals that they were using. So they were just using more and more chemicals and getting a worse and worse problem. So, you know, really looking at that root cause of what is causing the infestation in the first place. You know, what is causing it? What can we do to prevent it instead of just dousing all these sides, insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, and trying to bomb our way through so that nothing is living?
Well, it didn't work in Vietnam. The defoliation campaign didn't turn the tide of the war, and defoliating our environment, defoliating our bodies with all kinds of chemicals, we're not going to ultimately win that war. And so a wonderful introduction to your book, Resilient Health. And in the book, you know, they're tangible and plausible and actionable solutions. It's a great guide to some of the challenges that we experience in our day-to-day lives. Valencia Porter, thank you very much for joining us. And just give us some resources, by the way. You know, is there a website for the book, or is there a website for you?
Yes. So my website is valenciaporter.com, and there is also a website, resilienthealthbook.com. And speaking of chlorpyrifos, I would just urge people, there are two bills, one in the House and one in the Senate. The House bill is the Ban Toxic Pesticides Act of 2019 that includes chlorpyrifos on there. And the Senate bill is Senate Bill 921, which is Protect Children, Farmers, and Farm Workers from Nerve Agent Pesticides Act of 2019. I would urge people to contact their representatives and ask them to please support those bills.
Right about now, your representatives are busy doing something else. So it's likely that their attention will turn to these pressing
problems.
Yes,
these have been on hold for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So
there's a little bit of a distractor going on. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us, and all the best to you as you help to detoxify you know, patience, because that's a fundamental path towards reclaiming our health.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
The book is Resilient Health by today's guest, Dr. Valencia Porter. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.